Gentlemen, our next public hearing is the ordinance amendment relating to lot maintenance, relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats, and prohibited growths and accumulations.
And it is, in its full title, it says an ordinance to repeal Chapter 80, relating to lot maintenance, and to amend Chapter 115, zoning, Article 25, Section 115-191, relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats, and prohibited growths and accumulations on non-agricultural lands, waste materials outside of commercial premises, and enforcement methods and the violations and penalties resulting therefrom. That is the title of this ordinance. The intent...
Is there an acronym for that?
Not mine. Junk.
Junk.
The ordinance has a typical whereas and wherefores, except in the last two references, and it states pursuant to Chapter 80, of this code of Sussex County, authority for lot maintenance was granted to the Transfer Station Division of Sussex County, which no longer exists, and the responsibility for enforcing the proper maintenance of residential lots should be transferred to the Director of Planning and Zoning for enforcement under Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County. And the second, or the fifth whereas, is that it be, has been determined that in order to better promote and protect the health, safety, convenience, orderly growth, welfare, and property values of the inhabitants of Sussex County, and to assist in the more effective enforcement of the code, Chapter 80 should be repealed, and the provisions thereof incorporated within Chapter 115, Section 115-191, and the expanded and incorporated provisions thereof should be amended to more clearly define the circumstances and conditions which shall give rise to enforcement of the matters addressed within this amendment, and the consequences which may result from the violation of the expanded and amended provision of Chapter, or excuse me, Section 115-191. The first are this page 2 and page 3 of the ordinance are for the purpose to repeal Section 80 of the code, or Chapter 80 of the code. Since we no longer have a Transfer Station Division, and then pages 4 through the end of the packet, and or pages 4 through 8 include references to parking, storing, and maintaining of vehicles and trailers, the enforcement provisions, the penalties and jurisdiction, the exemptions, the prohibited growths and accumulations, the removal by county and recovery of county expenses, the deposit of waste materials on premise outside of commercial establishments, violations and penalties, and then a clean hands clause. This ordinance did not have its typical synopsis, as most of our ordinances do.
I think the...
That's all I have, unless you have questions.
And the doctrine of clean hands is, and Council, you correct me if I'm wrong, that's really sort of a chancery court kind of thing. But what it basically means is that if you've got a violation or something, and you haven't taken care of it, then you can't get a permit for anything else or so on. Is that pretty much...
Yeah, you can't ask for equity if you're not doing equity.
There you go.
On that lot?
I think it's pretty much across the board. If you have violations somewhere else, don't you have to clean your act up?
That's what this is.
That's what this is saying.
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't mean for that lot. It means period.
Period. Okay.
So, it's...
And there's not a section of the zoning ordinance, but there is a... Just recently, the county did pass a clean hands enforcement law so that if a person... has back taxes or something of that nature, they can't obtain a building permit unless all fees are paid.
Right.
Whether it be SOAR related connection fees or taxes or
library fines.
Whatever.
Only in Sussex County. All
right. In Sussex, right.
That was a joke, but nobody laughed.
I thought it was good.
because maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. I just wonder how clean your hands have to be. Okay, gentlemen, the ordinance has been introduced and summarized by our director. We'll entertain any discussion from from the commission, and then we'll hear from the public. So, commissioners, what do you think?
I have one question on this cradle. It says, maintaining of boats and other watercraft on the ground, a cradle, or on a trailer, as to all of which the following requirements shall apply. So that's if the boat is without the trailer, it cannot be stored there.
That's basically the way I read it.
What section are you looking at?
115, 191,
right.
Page 4.
Yeah, A, B, or C. A little section, my question.
It's second paragraph. I was trying to question the cradle. If the boat was removed from the trailer, is it a counting unit or a non-counting unit?
Okay.
It's a counter.
Yeah.
I did receive one letter through one of the councilmen, and it has a picture which I'll pass down for your review. I'll read the letter as I pass the pictures down. It's addressed to Councilman Rogers. I'm a resident full-time of Pinewood Beach, and the purpose of my letter is to advise you of my I have a significant other in parentheses. Support for the recently introduced ordinance reference lot maintenance and vehicle and boat storage. Makes reference to the section of the code because our adjacent property owner has deposited in the middle of the night a junk sailboat on his lot. I have enclosed some pictures to illustrate the problem. We ask him to remove it, but no results. It is been there over 6 months. All of our neighbors are equally concerned as well. Please keep us posted on the bill's progress being the ordinance. And it's signed by Joe McCann and Catherine Tiller.
Well, this is what that ordinance is designed to prevent, I would say. Mr. Burton, in case you're wondering, this is a counter.
That's a counter.
That's a counter.
I just wanted to be sure.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
You may, please.
Yeah. On page 6, 115, 191, A, an antique vehicle or vintage car, would this section be improved if we added a reference to licensed as such by the state of Delaware? So there's not an interpretation question of what is an antique vehicle or not.
Probably not a bad idea because
then there would be a standard by which that is determined. It is something that is required if you want to have that classification, as I understand.
What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea, but the question I have is when we get into or parts thereof.
Because
obviously that throws out some licenses.
I don't know what the intent there is,
but
well, I think the intent is to not have parts stacked up outside.
Yeah, it's got to be high.
You know, it's okay. So, you know, you try to think of everything because, you know, if there's a way around it, there'll be stuff piled in the yard somewhere.
I mean, if you have the hobby of repairing or renovating antique vehicles, obviously you're going to have parts around, but you're also going to have the ability to license that vehicle at some point.
Right. I think the vehicle licensing is a reasonable thing to put in there, and you're just going to have to say
that section needs to be reworded.
Yeah, parts of any kind or description, really. You don't want any parts piled up outside. You don't care.
It'd be related to the vehicle.
Plus, it says an antique or vintage car or cars or parts thereof. So you eliminate the antique designation when you throw in the second or cars. Yeah. You open it up to cars of any type or sort.
Right.
So you basically just nullified your antique.
So, but you understand what I'm getting at is so that there's not a debate between the enforcement people and an expert that is repairing vintage cars that knows the difference.
A building consisting of four sides and a roof that houses a car, isn't that a garage?
Could be an open pole building.
Could be, I guess.
Yeah, four, it's got four sides. But it's
the point being that says it doesn't, the ordinance does not apply to that, to vehicles that are stored in a building.
But there's another section of the code that references the size of buildings and the number of vehicles that can be parked in it.
Oh, I'm not saying we should use the word garage. It just sort of seems
there's a limitation on the size.
Kind of odd that I would. Why wouldn't any vehicle, any car that was in a building with four sides and a roof be exempt from the ordinance? Because the whole idea is you don't want junk. If a man wants to store a junk car in his garage, or a lady, that I don't think that's a big deal.
And you could have any number of garages.
Right. So I think any car that's,
Probably the designation of antique or vintage car is superfluous. Basically, you're saying if your car is in the garage and it's tucked away,
yeah,
don't care.
Yeah, right.
About.
Don't care if it's antique.
Whatever kind of car it may be.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a look at that. Gentlemen, any other comments before we seek the wisdom of the public here? Being none. Is there anyone here with an interest in this ordinance? Anyone who would like to speak? Wow, look at that. Okay. Before you come up, normally, this is a for and against kind of situation. I would I will characterize it that way, but you don't have to be for or against in order to speak on this ordinance. So the procedure is that we ask if there's anyone who wishes to speak in favor of this ordinance, and we'll start that way. And we'll start with you, ma'am.
Please remember to state your name and your address.
Thank you. My name is Helene Guilfoy. My address is 38331 James A. Street. Before I go any further, let me just see if I can address the question on the building with four sides and a roof. And that's because, let me show you a picture. One of my neighbors has a Rehoboth Beach pavilion that they were abandoning, and he's using it to store vehicles.
So he doesn't have walls, he just has a roof. Yeah.
He's got a roof, but no. Mm-hmm. Here's some more pictures. You can see the pavilion in the background.
Okay.
There's also some pictures of a Winnebago that predates me at my address, and I understand from my neighbor, who is a lifelong resident of Sussex, that it's been there for 30 years.
Now, let's make sure I understand. If the cars are licensed and operating...
No, they're not.
They can be anywhere.
Yeah, so make but sure these, you understood these vehicles are not.
Okay.
Here's some other pictures. This is the area that you're looking at now is a heavily populated urban area east of Route 1. Mm-hmm. It's a neighborhood of 50 by 100 lots. So we're not looking at a rural environment or a farm environment. My neighbors and I have been trying to get some relief from these problems for a long time. We found emails going back to 2000 where we were trying to communicate with the county council and various and sundry other people.
Mm-hmm.
In October of last year, I contacted Mr. Hal Godwin to see what steps could be taken to address the situation. We discovered, as the ordinance states, that the existing ordinance was unenforceable since the office that had been tasked with enforcement was no longer in existence. The ordinance addresses most of our concerns. It also recognizes, I think importantly, the rural area of Sussex County by excluding the agricultural, specifically excluding agricultural properties, that our farmers need to have farm vehicles on their property, untagged. Some of us would call them junk vehicles, but these kinds of vehicles really are detrimental to a community of, as I said before, of heavily populated urban area. It also addresses the hobbyist who is restoring vehicles, and as you said earlier, and I would strongly support your amendment to the ordinance where there has to be some recognition that they are in fact restoring a vehicle, which is an antique vehicle or of some sort. So I'm rising to speak in favor of your support of the amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Nancy LaFontaine. I live in 215 North Lake Drive in Lazy Lake. I'm here tonight because I am really begging for you to pass this ordinance because I have some serious issues with my immediate neighbors on both sides, actually. And because of those issues, I am forced to move. Our property value is being decreased on a daily basis because of these people, not just because of their character, but from what is being deposited regularly in their yard. Again, I have to move. My house was assessed approximately $190 last year. Given the market, I'm going to be lucky I get that, and I'm going to be lucky I clear what I bought it for because of the stuff in the yard. The lots are 75 wide by 145 approximately, but ours is on that road. I was forced to put up a fence because of the problems that arised, and I was threatened. So I was forced to put up a fence just to keep some type of peace. Still throwing threats and all kinds of things at me. With that, I'd like you to meet my neighbor. This is from my front door. This is over the fence, just the view over the fence. This is... there's a boat over here. There were three boats. I believe he had to somehow, well, he got rid of the biggest boat. I don't know why. I can make an assumption he's had to acquire some money for whatever he does, because I don't believe he works. He sleeps all day. There's a boat, and he has deposited all kinds of stuff back here and up against my fence. And when we moved in, all the kiddie stuff was up against the house, you know, but now it's back here. I have witnessed her having to kill snakes because of all this debris. And it was comical. One day we're eating dinner and my husband's just laughing. I could hear some pounding. And you could hear the kids going, here's one, and I heard, here's a snake. With that, there's you know, we're basically in a rural place, but it's growing. These people have lived here ever since this community started, so they're not used to neighbors. They're not used to being considerate, civil, etc. Here's what's over that fence. This is everything I see every day. There is a dog kennel over here, which is kept out, and with that somehow, sidebar, please, dogs have to be included on this because it's definitely a nuisance. This is a Hail Mary over my fence, right over my fence. This is where the pool was, and I guarantee you all the stray cats do use that as their sandbox, because I've witnessed that before the fence was in. But this is current now, and this is what I see. And with that, he does have a permit with putting up, I'm not sure what it is, a garage, a shack. It is
a building with four walls and
four walls and a building and a roof, and it goes out where he has.
There's a car in it. It's a garage.
There's a refrigerator in it. We all can guess what's in that refrigerator. You see the coolers that used to be his refrigerator.
Okay.
Here's the pool.
Okay.
My point is, everything that is done in this 75-foot-wide yard is within 5 feet from my fence. There's my bedroom window, my living room window. I'm kept up all night. All night. 2 years of no sleep. Please, trust me. I'm a mess.
These folks move in after you did?
No, they were there. She's from Philadelphia, and he...
That's fine.
But big soap opera here, but this is another Hail Mary. These are the woods that you can see over the fence. This is all with my cell phone. All with my cell phone, okay? This is where they have their bonfires. We've had a drought. Now, he does have... With their mentality, I'm surprised they even thought of using a mesh to with this gadget to contain the wood. But I've observed it being on very high, windy nights. My fear, again, it's up against a fence.
I don't think this ordinance is going to really have...
I know, but my point is, here's a lot of junk. Here's the dog kennel that the dogs are kept out all night. And here's all the tarps, the pool. This is the nightlight that they put up over my bedroom window.
I have to stop you in that. It's not a thing against your neighbor. It's just in support or in favor of the ordinance.
It's in support, please. My point is here, because the lots are so close together and small, what are they permitted to do within that distance as close to the next lot? And it is all disturbance, to be disturbing. That like the light, is that permitted to be right outside my window?
This won't regulate light.
I don't know.
Light. This
okay,
will regulate
well,
waste,
sidebar
weeds,
there.
waste, weeds, and cars. So,
okay.
And that's the only thing that's being considered at this point in this
Okay,
ordinance.
These bricks have been there since I moved in 2 years ago. Supposed to be some driveway, but they 3 pallets of bricks. This is sitting just off the road.
As I said, the appropriate form would be
I appreciate your concern, and certainly and your.
Well, it's a mess. Okay, my point is it's a total mess, and every day I observe more and more stuff being brought in or shifted, and again the lots are quite small and there's close quarters, so.
We got it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Uh huh. Yes, sir.
My name is Paul Bluest, and I'm at 33232 Mercer Avenue in Oak Orchard. And I believe that in light of everything else this evening, our persistence in having this ordinance changed was due to a lot of us coming to council meetings and seeing if we could have something done about it. I'm in favor of the ordinance. Changing the ordinance and have it enforced. We in Oak Orchard, it's an old community, turn of the century community. Some of our lots are 15 feet, 20 feet wide, very deep. Majority of them are less than 50 feet wide by 100 feet deep. I'd like to show you in a prime example, if you pass this ordinance, or you suggest the council passes this ordinance as it's written with 2 unlicensed vehicles, this is what you're permitting as your neighbors.
This is on Foster Street. We take it.
2. Ordinance allows 2.
Yeah. We currently took a petition around Sussex County, and we collected within 2 weeks' time 108 signatures to... Instead of having 2 unlicensed vehicles, make that 0. Well, there, you want to live beside that?
Don't write that. Here's the petition.
Thank you.
So we strongly would like you to make a recommendation to council.
And how long have you lived there?
24 years.
That it always been like this, or is it something changed?
Oh, this
in the
property.
I mean,
the one car
in general.
The one car on that Forest Street, the license is 92.
Mm-hmm.
The The people that live around that property accept it because there's two vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are actually three because we found one under a bush. You can see the one today. It's legal. So they're at wit's end. It becomes part of the landscaping. Their property values have plummeted along with everything else, and it becomes known as Oak Orchard, as a trash hole.
But it wasn't like that when you got there?
This is not beside my property. There is a property that we've been talking about with boats that's appealed the decision,
mm-hmm.
because of boats, that they included boats as the ordinance, that has accumulated probably 8 boats in their 50-foot lot.
Okay.
So that's why boats...
Well, that's what this ordinance is designed to address.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir, since you're on your feet.
My name is Alan Lynch, 3206 Highway 1, James A. Street. Have the Bay Road Package Tour, Captain's Table Restaurant. There's a Quality Inn Suites Hotel there. Just trying to familiarize you with the area. Invite you to come down and look at it. The whole area is deteriorating. We have a home there and back to the Quality Inn Suites. It's had a blue tarp on it for 3 years. I notified the chief fire marshal, invited him to come down, see if we could condemn it so the fire department could have a training session on it. He says as long as it's not accessible, there's nothing he can do. I notified Troop 7 about Tommy Williams, and that's on Josephine Street. They came down, put warning tickets on his cars. He removed them. Now he has twice as much stuff on Josephine Street. Has approximately 2 trailers, 2 boats, 4 cars, and they're all parked, so he says, on the state right away. If 2 cars or an ambulance met there, they couldn't get by it. I am also in favor of zero tolerance on unlicensed vehicles. There's 2 cars that are on James A. Street, been there for 3 or 4 years, unlicensed, untagged, rusting, grass growing up around them. Anything you can do to help us in that area, the whole real estate value is deteriorating. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to speak.
You need to come up here.
Four.
You need to come up here.
So is it time to start
the... All right, then. Well, you can be for, against, whatever. Come on. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell. But it's okay. That's why it's called a public meeting. It's for you.
So. Hello, I'm Cheryl Roach. I live at 18919 Horace Gravel Road, Georgetown, Delaware. For anyone who doesn't know in here, Horace Gravel Road is the very road that the landfill of Sussex County is on. I live about 2 miles from the landfill. Many times I will be in violation of this ordinance. Because if anyone has ridden down Hard's Gravel Road, they know there's quite a bit of trash there, especially in the winter time. I have trash that gets in my yard. Actually, I may have some at home right now, but haven't really been there much in the light in the evening, so I didn't really have time to look tonight. I have trash on the front of my road. I've had 2 accidents in my yard because I live at a somewhat dangerous intersection there. And actually, I've tried to be a good citizen because I don't really want any more accidents and have actually taken some of the trash off the road and put it to the side. I really don't want to pay for putting trash in the landfill, so I do put it sometimes on my property because I let the prisoners pick it up and let the state pay for it because it's not really my trash. I have enough of my own trash.
Are you sure you're putting it on your property and not in the state right away?
Well, I might be putting it on the state right away.
I think that would make more sense.
Yeah, because actually it's very close. But actually there's not much of a ditch. There's a slight ditch. Anyway, that's something that you need to think about. You know, there are people that donate trash all the time, you know, whether it's through garbage mm-hmm. trucks or if it's people that just live on a country road.
Okay.
Speaking about the right-of-way, We used to cut grass on the ditch, which was the right-of-way. Route 20 has been expanded so much now, I can't cut the grass where my ditches are in front of my house.
Ma'am, it's impossible. I don't think this ordinance is going to do much for you, though. Go ahead.
Well, see, I don't really want to be fined for having tall grass. And I do, I always have tall grass in my yard anymore because of the ditches that surround my house. I live on a corner.
I don't think that's going to be in the way.
So, another thing, actually right now, is my, I love a yard that has the grass cut. But I'm a single parent, and now my son's away, college in Virginia. Their 16-year-old daughter. I don't know how to fix my lawnmower, but my son will be home next weekend, and I'm hoping he will fix it with his tools that he has down there, and he'll cut the grass. I'm not a bad citizen. I really like the grass cut, but circumstances happen. Last year I had the same problem, and finally a friend cut it for me, which I appreciated. But I was sick for a long time, and I just really couldn't cut it. Right now, I've just run out of time, fractured a bone in my foot, and I couldn't get out there and cut it. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is a large county. I understand it's the largest on the east side, or this side of the Mississippi River. A lot of people live here. I can appreciate what some of the people have said here about their neighbors and things. But at the same time, some of us live here, and we can't do any better than what we can. I know what it's like to have more money. I was married for a long time. I'm divorced. That's a good way to lose some wealth. And I just can't do some of the things that I used to do. And I think if anybody's been in that situation, they might appreciate that. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, this is a law that affects everyone in Sussex County. I'm trying to be here to represent such things happen to people. It's beyond their circumstances. It's not that they're bad people. But actually, really, I don't want to be fined because my grass is too tall, because actually, the decision came down is, do I pay someone $50 2 weeks ago to cut my grass, or, oh, my son's coming home from college, and I know he can take care of it in 3 weeks, and I pay him the $50. Really, he needs the $50. So I did something like that to help my family. And I think there's a lot of citizens out here that are in the same situation that I am in, and some are in quite worse situations. You know, it's got to the point where Sussex Countyans can hardly afford the home that they live in now. And it's, I guess I'd like for you to consider that there's many of us here, and that to please consider those of us that are poor.
I understand what you're saying, ma'am.
Yeah, and one other thing, in terms of the vehicles, I have a 16-year-old daughter who has some friends that are working on cars, so that when they can get their license, they, you know, they've been working on it gradually, and they're sitting in yards, and I know that the kids are working on them, and the dads when they get a chance. So sometimes when you see vehicles in the yard, it's not a bad thing. They're trying to do, you know, they're not only teaching the kids skills to how to fix cars, but they're also, you know, gradually paying for something that they can afford. And actually, those kids will probably be much better drivers on the road because it's their car and they worked on it. So sometimes these cars sitting in the yards are not bad. Actually, I work with a coworker too that actually lives right on the Indian River Bay. She actually has a daughter going to Costa Rica for 6 months.
And then what does this have to do with
Well, what I'm saying is she is
going to... Wrap it up. 30 seconds.
Okay. Her car, they're going to take off the insurance, which means by law they have to get rid of the license tag, and they're going to have their car sitting in the yard.
And the ordinance allows two cars.
Okay, but she has two daughters. And
well,
two daughters, two cars,
she's still good.
But the thing of it is, sometimes things happen beyond people's control, and this affects everybody, and they will be punished.
Well, maybe
Thank
not.
You.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Ooh, this will be good.
My name is Wolfgang von Baumgart. I'm the state secretary of the Independent Party of Delaware, and the Independent Party of Delaware, one of our most important planks is the repeal of repressive legislation. So we take this opportunity to rise to the defense of the people of Sussex County, the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of Delaware. While there is a need in some cases to address extreme cases of health hazards, pollution, and other forms of degradation, we believe that this ordinance has the potential for abuse. I can tell you specifically that Section 84D, 80-4D, where the subcontractors or the contractors or the assigns of the County of Sussex are exempt from legal liability, denies the homeowner equal protection under the law. We can also believe in some cases that we believe that two vehicles is a reasonable number of vehicles, and it constitutes reasonable land use. But we do not want this ordinance to be misinterpreted to deny people reasonable land use. So we're using some very key words here, such as blight. Blight is not legally defined. It may open the door for abuses of eminent domain. This may actually open the door for confiscation of people's property through excessive fines, selective enforcement, targeting the poor, the minorities, and other people. It is necessary that to consider the rights of individuals and the sovereign homestead in a county environment that aggressively promotes suburban sector development at the expense of environmental interests and agriculture. The arbitrary order and standard to cut grass to 12 inches, in some cases, runs contrary to the best interests of the environment. A person has a fairly decent-sized tract of land and someone complains that there's grass on it, that person is, in essence, being ordered to destroy wildlife habitat contrary to their creed. Most of the snakes that in this state are very non-poisonous. They're actually benevolent, and they eat rodents. So the arbitrary fear of snakes should not be used to pass a sweeping ordinance punishing people for minor incidences of clutter. So we have to have some objective standards. We have to put it in balance. It is necessary to demonstrate objectively that if someone makes an assertion that their property values have been lowered, they should objectively demonstrate them with real evidence, such as appraisers. And I'd also like to add that Section 80-3 is grammatically incorrect. Therefore, we the people of the Independent Party of Delaware, in defense of the people of Sussex County, request a greater balance in this ordinance, counterbalancing the needs of developers against the rights of people in a sovereign homestead. We further assert that such ordinances are these are primary catalysts for initiative, referendum, and recall in Sussex County. So therefore, we do not wish to have an ordinance that is Orwellian in scope. And we must have some common sense and tolerance for people in various situations. Thank you.
Sir? Sir?
Yes?
Did you state your address for the record?
37 Comanche Circle, Middlesboro.
And what grammatical error did you discover in Section 80?
There was an incorrect plural. It should read persons. Person or persons.
That's a section of the code that's proposed to be deleted.
Right.
By this ordinance.
Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As is 80-4.
Okay, anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir. Blue. Somebody else over here. Did I see another hand over here?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Colonel Swanson. My wife and I reside at 611 Meadowbrook Lane near Milford. We also have a summer house at Middlesex Beach, 22 Bayberry Road, near Bethany. So we consider ourselves to be doubly Sussex Countyans. I want to speak out against a portion of this proposed ordinance dealing with growth. I don't even like that word. It sounds too much like tumors. So I'm going to calling it vegetation. It's part of my effort to provide food and cover for wildlife on my property, I let a portion of my lawn go unmowed. I do it with a purpose. To preserve a portion of the large growth of milkweed that had become established before we built on this property. Encouraging milkweed is important because it provides the almost exclusive food for the beautiful but threatened monarch butterfly. This area of my yard is in violation of the current code. It has been for years, and it would be in violation of the proposed ordinance as written. Personally, I don't think anybody knows or really cares. I've also planted ornamental grasses as part of the landscape around my house. Grasses, 4 feet high, against the code. Also, I have bought plants from Pepper's greenhouse and planted in my yard. They're called Jopai weed and goldenrod weeds, against the ordinance. In my written statement, I've given a lot more background about wildlife habitat and how my yard has been certified as a backyard wildlife habitat. Also, a lot of information about lot maintenance and alternatives to the common lawn. But what I want to hit on now
Let me ask you a question. I think we understand where you're coming from, and if you do have a different point, I do want you to make it. This is a legitimate question that I really am looking for an answer for, because I hear what you're saying. How would we differentiate between what you're doing and the person who is just letting their property deteriorate by, you know, not, you know, they're, you're doing what you're doing with intention. Okay? What the ordinance is designed to deal with is what is happening because of neglect. Now, my question is, how could we address both of those things in a way that is fair to all parties? I'm looking for that answer, because you got a point.
I personally feel that the lack of enforcement of the growth of grass and weeds in Sussex County is not a problem.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
But also, I would like to point out that this, as a zoning regulation, will be up to enforcement by the zoning office. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to enforce this? It's very, very vague. And enforcement would probably be spotty and arbitrary. What are we going to have? Weed and grass police patrolling the county with yardsticks? And how are they going to interpret the vague language? Who decides what is a bona fide agricultural purpose? Maybe I could call my front yard a native plant nursery.
I suspect you could qualify under that.
And who decides if a plant is a weed or a wildflower? What one person sees as a weed, another person probably sees as a nice native plant. And who decides which grasses are ornamental? And who decides which bushes are beneficial? And how about vines? They don't even appear in here. They've fallen through the cracks. Some are unsightly and invasive, and they should be controlled. So my best hope is that you and the county council will simply eliminate all the clauses dealing with vegetation from this ordinance. There's plenty of meat in it without dealing with vegetation.
I figure if we just get rid of the junk cars, we'd be doing something, huh?
And if you don't agree with that, I would think at least in your job as enforcing zoning regulations, you will want better language. So we have a reasonable and enforceable ordinance. You should seek out knowledgeable advice for writing a good vegetation clause. And at a very minimum, the exclusion clause should be expanded to include the ornamental grasses, vegetable gardens, flower beds, and areas maintained for wildlife habitat.
Take that under advisement.
And why do I say that?
That's what I was looking for earlier.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to say, but like you said, we have to write it down. It has to be in the ordinance.
You could get better advice on how to write that clause.
Well, I know. I'm not expecting you to do it, but I felt like maybe you had an opinion.
But there are people who could help you. Why do I say should include wildlife habitat? Looking at the summary of the comprehensive plan, two quotes here. The county will continue to focus on preserving more land and strengthening regulations that protect natural features. And one way they cite is using zoning ordinance and subdivision codes to help protect critical wildlife habitat. I applaud the county for putting this in the plan. I hope they put their money where their mouth is.
All right, sir. We thank you.
I think I should be encouraged in my effort to protect wildlife habitat.
Well, consider yourself encouraged, and we thank you. And your time is up. Okay, sir?
How you doing? My name is Richard Miller. I live at 1687 Mercer Avenue, Oak Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And I am for this regulation. The last three people that got up, they're not against peep with growing grass. Their grass is too high. We're considering the people with the junk. And what about our rights to have to live next to people who have three boats, six boats? We have to pass how many boats? There's two properties that have at least four or five boats in there, and they've been there for 15 years in the same place, same trailer, same boats, people with travel home, or trailers, a house went afire. They got mobile home on them, still mobile home. They got boat trailers. They got piles of rocks, wood. That's what we're trying to correct. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you, sir. One trip to a customer, so if anybody else want to speak? Haven't you already been up here once?
No, I've been
last. Oh, it was last time?
Last
come on. All right.
They're all running together.
They're running together now.
Again, my name is Jason Beal, 15419 Abbots Pond Road. Basically, just kind of want to reiterate what Carl said. I've been working as a naturalist my professional life. And just to shed some light on maybe ways to enforce that, some simple things. What Carl does in his yard is kind of mows around his meadow areas, so it's clearly delineated as to where kind of his lawn is, where the things are. So there are ways like that, even, you know, a simple plan drawn up. I do have a couple of books on some kind of native plantings and on invasive plants and things, which I can provide to the commission here.
And add them into the record if you like.
Thank you. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. All the way in the back. Yes, sir. That would be you. Yep.
Oh, there's two.
Yeah, enough.
West, Millsboro. Even though I know I'm not going to have any effect on you folks is thinking, I'll give it a good, my best shot.
You might be
like
surprised.
To start out with, let me take up the subject of grass. Now, whether you know it or not, grass is the same word, whether it's one piece or whether a field full. So this thing does not make any distinction how much grass is there supposed to be before someone comes up and sends you the letter saying you've got to cut your grass or we're going to do it for you.
12 inches high.
I'm sorry?
12 inches high.
Yes, but is that one piece of grass, one clump, or is that the whole yard? That's what I'm asking.
You know what?
That's what I'm asking, because it's real easy to miss a couple of clumps of grass when you're mowing.
Well, I don't think the intent is that.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Are you hiring an inspector to go around and keep checking this, or is it going to be as it was where you get a complaint and then send a man out to check it. So you see what I'm driving at here? Mm-hmm. If he comes out, if he don't like me, he sees a clump of grass, he's trying to get me in trouble. And that happens. You don't get to your reputation being meanest man counting for nothing. So, also, on the subject of grass, in the 50s, the state had a dirt road program where they went around and within a period of 10 years was supposed to slag every dirt road in the county. I'm sure you folks don't remember it. You're not that old. Well, now, when the fella came up to get a right-of-way, I gave him an easement. Now, my deed still has that land on there. I still own it.
Right.
I pay taxes on it yearly, even though there's a road built on it. So now, the state, being good agents as they are, mow the grass once a year around Labor Day. And if I'm lucky, around 4th of July. And if I'm lucky, Labor Day. Now, that grass is waist high before they get it mowed, and they do a good job then. But what about mine sitting here? Am I going to be in trouble because my grass is just over 12 inches and I look out and see the grass on my other part of my ground over there that the state's got an easement on that's 3 to 4 feet high. So where do we stand there? You see the problems that can come up with this type of legislation? Mm-hmm. It's been my experience that whenever the tipping fees go up on the trash at the landfill, and whenever the regulations get tougher, I wind up with a lot more trash dumped on me out there in the rural area. Now, this year I have had a pickup load of used tires, 27 in fact. I've had 5 burn barrels half full of trash out there where it had been burned that I've had to take care of and carry to the dump. I've had a 250-gallon oil drum dumped out there, the same situation. Now, and I've had a couple of loads of construction waste. Now, what about this? Am I going to be responsible for all this stuff that I ride by and see somebody's dumped on me? I mean, according to this regulations you propose, I'm responsible for that because I own the land. So what happens there? Well, it costs me just as much to carry someone else's trash to the landfill as it does for me to carry mine. I know I've had to do it. So then we come into the thing where we can't have cars sitting on us. Now, whether you know it or not, the price of scrap metal has gone up. If you pass this where you can send somebody on me hook onto a car, as much thievery as I've had over the past year, as much trash as I've had, as many times as I've been chewed out on my own land over this, that, and the other, well, he's apt to see the business end of my shotgun. It won't be in civil court then. It'll be in some other court up here. Because when I learned how to shoot, we don't shoot for fun. We shoot to kill.
West, I respect you, sir, and I appreciate your comments, but I'm going to terminate your testimony right now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, you're done. Thank you, sir. We appreciate. We heard your concerns, but we don't want to be on the business end of your shotgun.
Sorry if I repeated anything.
You did fine.
I don't know what had been said.
You did fine. We heard you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir. Usually draw the line at firearms, so if you're going to say that you bring in your shotgun or that your home is protected by Smith & Wesson any comments like that, okay,
no, I'm good.
You can sit down now. Otherwise, go ahead.
Okay, I do feel that...
Your name?
Richard West, 31023 Puseys Road, Millsboro, Delaware. I'm in opposition to this. I sort of feel we're infringing on the rights of people. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own beliefs. The way I see it, some people invest in stocks, some in real estate, some in bank certificates. Then you got the hobbyist. He collects cars, and they're valuable. The longer he keeps them, the more they're worth. And lots of times you can't find these old cars. You get on websites and they're very hard to find. I know some boys that's paid $80,000 for one recently.
I got a question for you, Mr. West.
Okay.
You gonna leave your $80,000 car sitting on blocks in your front yard?
You could if you got a building full already.
And I suspect you'd find a place to put it. Now look.
And the county may not allow you to.
I understand the point you're making. On. I want you to go ahead and make your point. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to do it. Okay.
Go ahead. Okay. Anyway, I do feel that if you do go with that ordinance of two cars per family, that's more fair than would be if you said no cars out there, junk cars, or cars that were sitting idle.
Well,
that
guy's no why it's in there.
Yeah. And let's see, one more thing here. On the grass, out at my house, all of us cut the right-of-ways pretty muchly. If we waited for the state, we'd be in big trouble because you can't even see the deer when they pop out on the road most of the time. Been a lot of accidents out that way. So we've really been doing the state and the county a favor by taking care of it ourselves. But the only thing I do want to say is, who's going to send the state the bill if the county says that the grass is too tall in that right-of-way? Are you guys going to be taking care of that? Or that'll be your job, right? Send the bill to the state if they haven't got it cut but two times a year and it's over the 12 inches?
Well, I think you know the answer to that. I think you know that the county doesn't have jurisdiction over the state right-of-way. And, you know, I think I understand here what you're saying. It just kind of rubs you the wrong way. That you'd be doing that, and then now somebody's going to maybe require you to do it. And I appreciate that. I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Anyone else like to speak? No. One trip to a customer. That's it. You know the rules. You've been here before. One trip to a customer. Anybody else? All right, then. Well, we thank you all for your patience. You waited a long time and had to sit through a bunch of other stuff to get to the end here. And it certainly has been enlightening, and we will take all of your comments under consideration. And we will now, unless someone else on the commission has a question or a comment, we will close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.